All right. Well, it's good to see everybody. Hope you're having a great week. And today's going to be a great day. Got a lot of sunshine, warmer weather. It's going to be wonderful. I've been looking at biblical traits of manhood and womanhood. Again, those are not all-inclusive traits, but there are certainly things to be mindful of as you kind of live out your life and seek to be the best person that God wants you to be with His help. But it's also important to understand that there are differences between men and women. We live in a society where the lines are very blurred on this whole topic. So we're going to have today's going to be much more lighthearted. We're going to look at some things from a kind of more of a fun perspective. They don't all apply to every couple. They don't all apply to every woman. They don't all apply to every man. But the important thing is to understand which of these differences do apply to you. All right. So which of these differences apply to you? Sometimes people are mad, like women say, well, I'm not like that. And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. You don't have to be like that. But what are you like? Know who you are, know who your spouse is, your kids. Because today's differences relate to any kind of male-female interaction. So even with your children, your workmates, they kind of apply to a lot of different situations. But just for a little fun, we're going to take a look at a good video that someone did to kind of point out that, you know what, yes, men and women are a bit different. So let's go ahead and watch this video and then I'll come up. I love that video. How many have seen that before? So a lot of you have. It just, it kind of sets up my talk real well. So as you look at your list, one of those things on here are, number two, women are problem sharers, men are problem fixers. Okay, ladies, when you share your problems, sometimes, right, you need to share it and just share it. And someone said, that's what girlfriends are for. If you want it fixed, then come to your husband and he'll try to be a problem fixer. On the lighter side, I found a little list of advantages of being a man and advantages of being a woman. So you can kind of go through and pick out your own favorites. So advantages of being a man, it's on the back. Phone conversations can be over in 30 seconds. That is true. My wife will say, well, you didn't ask them how they were. You didn't ask them how the kids were. No, I really didn't. I just, called them and we took care of business and got done. You can be showered and ready in 10 minutes and go anywhere. That's really a cool thing. Three pair of shoes are enough for life. You can do that, guys. This is one I've discovered in Mary Ellen. You can go to visit friends without bringing a gift. Okay, now Mary Ellen loves bringing gifts, but I can go to someone's house and I don't have to do that. It's okay. So, all right. Advantage of being a woman in a shipwreck: you get on the lifeboat first. That's good. If you want to dance, you can dance with your girlfriends. If I go to a wedding with Tom Roberts, and I can't say to Tom, "Hey, Tom, let's go out and dance." Okay, it's just going to be a little weird. All right. You can spend money and then brag how much you saved. That's another advantage of being a woman. You can look that over and pick out some of your own favorites. But the Bible says in Genesis 5:2, God created them male and female. He blessed them and called them humans when He created them. Male and female, and we're wired differently. We are hardwired differently. Even the world knows that. There's a book written, men are from what, Mars and women are from Venus, just talking about these differences, because we really are different. We don't think the same. We're not supposed to think the same. So I'm going to just try to kind of share some of these, because when you understand that there's differences, you can embrace the differences instead of rejecting them. Because again, a lot of times what we want to say is, well, that's not right. No, it's not about right or wrong. It's different, And again, the word picture, we're going with Rocky theology this week. Rocky Balboa theology: you got gaps, she's got gaps. Together you ain't got no gaps. So it's important to understand what those differences are, that they can come together. If you don't learn to appreciate the differences, you will battle over those things. You will battle over the differences. And what you have to understand is those differences were created by God, and those differences when you allow them to come together, they allow things to go better, all right? You don't battle over them, you make things better over those differences. You use those strengths and those differences in your marriage that you might be stronger, all right? So number three here, women use code words that men don't always understand. men use code words that women don't, that men don't always understand. And I first heard this, some of you have heard me do this before, and you've remembered it. A number of couples have told me this weekend they remember this exact point from years ago, and it's helped them. So when a woman uses the word "we," gentlemen, you have to ask, which "we" is she talking about, all right? Now, she might say to you, "We need to cut the grass." That does not necessarily mean you're going to get any help, okay? She's just being polite. It's just a kind way to talk with you. And she might say, "We need to cut the grass," but that's a "he/we," okay? She's referring to you in that situation. She might say something like, "We need to go shopping." Now that one, what she's trying to do maybe in that one is just include you. If you want to come along, she's including you. But it's really a "she/we." "She/we" is going shopping, but "she/we" may want to include you, so it could be the two of you going together. "We need to go shopping." She might say, "We need to lose weight," and that may be referring to a "he/we," or it might be a "she/we," or it could be a "we/we." Sometimes it's a "we/we." Sometimes "we" really is "we," and you got to kind of think through that, the "we/we." I remember that I heard this. A Christian comedian kind of went through this little routine on "we," this "we" thing, and I discovered it when I was going home. My wife had been talking for months that we needed to get new blinds, and I kept saying, "Yes, sure, yes." And what I thought she was saying was that she, "we," was going to go get new blinds. And I was like, "Yeah, it's no problem. Let's go spend the money." And so I finally said to her, I said, "You keep saying we need to get new blinds, and I keep saying yes, and nothing's happening." She said, "No, I've been saying we need to get new blinds, and I've been waiting for you to go get them." And I said, "I never knew that you wanted me to go get them." And I said, "But I'm not going to go get them. That I'm not going to make it a he/we, because if he/we goes and gets those blinds, she/we may not like what I pick out." You know, and I said, "So that's got to be a we/we, because it can't be a he/we, and you're not doing it as a she/we." And so I said, "And then we got to find out a they/we to put them up. I don't like putting up blinds." You know. But when you understand that, it really makes life easier. So, gentlemen, in the future, when you hear the word "we," just ask yourself or your spouse the question, which "we" are we talking about, all right? Be really help, big help to you. A woman might say, "Are you going to wear that?" You come walking out in the morning, you come walking, you're dressed, and she says, "Are you going to wear that?" That's not really a question, gentlemen, okay? That's more of a statement, all right? Because she's looking at what you put on. You're like, "Hey, pants, shirt, I'm fine. No, I just wanted to show you my things in my closet, you know." No. That's not a question. That's a statement. Like, "That doesn't look good, guys." And so that's not a question. That's a statement. A woman might say, you might be in a discussion over something difficult, and finally the woman might say, "Well, do whatever you want." Okay, as a man, do not think that that means do whatever you want. Those are the words she used, but that's code for don't you dare do whatever you want, all right? So, you know, be very careful with that. My daughter is on this next one is notorious for this. She'll be upset, "Honey, what's wrong?" "Nothing. Nothing's wrong." Okay, if my daughter says nothing is wrong, that means everything is wrong, all right? So, and I, like with my daughter, I have to really work hard to then say, "Okay, what's wrong?" I remember one time my daughter, she was really being fairly difficult and really being hard to communicate with and wouldn't talk and wouldn't communicate. But she finally did say this, "Dad, it's not about you. It has nothing to do with you, so you don't have to worry about it." And I was like, "Cool, good," because I thought it was all about me, because you were so upset, it felt like I was getting that angst and that anger. But so anyway, so just realize that sometimes there's code words and you have to understand the code words. All right, number four, one secret every woman and every man must know for better communications. This is it. Understand that if a woman says something to a man, he didn't necessarily hear it. Okay, ladies, this will drive you crazy in your life, all right? Because you'll say, "I told him," or you know, when you say to your husband, "I told you about it." And the guy will be like, "When did you tell me that?" I mean, but here's the deal. Here's what's happening. If a man is not like stopping what he's doing sometimes and putting it down and looking you in the face and listening, he may not hear it. Just because you said, if he's like busy working, he's on the computer, or he's doing a project, or he's doing whatever, and you're talking, that doesn't mean it's getting in, all right? And so you just have to, like, I remember Sandy sometimes used to be really frustrated because she would ask me a question, all right? And my mind tends to be very active. I'm thinking a lot. I don't have a very big nothing box, all right? So I'm always thinking. So I remember, like, I would hear this faint sound of my wife's voice in the distance, and it's like it was like a ticker tape, and the question is coming towards me, you know? And I got so much on my mind, it finally gets there. And then I would say, now, what did you just ask? Or, you know, what did you say? And she said, I asked you that like a minute and a half ago. But it just took that long before it registered on my brain. You know, so I used to tell Sandy, I would say, honey, I say, you got to understand, if you want to talk to me and really communicate, you need to make me or wait for me to stop what I'm doing and say, okay, you have my undivided attention. And once you have that, you know, then there's a good chance I'll kind of remember it. So that's just a tip. Don't, if you're talking, don't think he's hearing, all right? So, but women are amazing on the other hand. Have you ever seen like a group of women? There's like five of them talking and you're wondering, who's listening? I mean, they're all going, but they're hearing everything. They're hearing it all. You're amazing, ladies. You can do that. Guys can't do that. You know, we've really got to kind of focus in, but you're able to just have, you know, like you have this radar up and you can be in five conversations and pick it all up. That's a gift God's given you that men do not have, all right? So anyway, that's just a little tip for you. All right, let's go on here. Oh, one thing on that, it has its advantages too on this men don't always hear. I was at a friend's house one day and the teenage son was sitting at the table and doing something, I forget what he was doing, and his sister got upset, 16-year-old sister, and she starts yelling at him. She is just mad. She's yelling at him. She's saying all these things about him. And finally, she just marches off in a huff and goes off to her room. And Cindy, the mom, says to Danny, Danny, I'm so proud of you. And he goes, What? Dan, I'm so proud of you. You know, you didn't react to your sister. You didn't say anything bad. You didn't fight with her. He said, was she talking to me? You know, the selective hearing really sometimes is an advantage. All right. Number five. This is a big one. Women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles. All right. With women, all your thoughts, they're all mingled together on all kinds of issues and all aspects of life. Men have little compartments they operate in. Some say waffles, some say boxes. Some say here women's minds are like superhighways going off in all directions, and men are like a single lane dirt road going in one direction. You know, so another way to explain it is, I don't know if you remember the old Christmas tree lights. Some Christmas tree lights, if you one bulb goes out, you know, the rest are still working. But some other Christmas tree lights, one bulb goes out, the whole string goes out. So my brother was, he was a girls basketball coach down in Franklin and now at Brookfield Academy. And he was down there, and so I said, and he used to coach boys and then he coached girls. And I said, what's the difference between the two, coaching boys and coaching girls? He said, oh, I can tell you. He said, a girl can be at the basketball practice, she's dribbling the ball down the court, and she's crying, okay? She's crying. And so that means something happened in her day. She failed a test, she got in a fight with a friend, she's, you know, her boyfriend said something mean to her, there's a problem with her parents, and that comes into the practice, all right? So he says, so we have to stop the whole practice. We got to kind of come around her. Got to, you know, you okay? It's all right. You know, we're going to get through this. And he said, I got to kind of talk her off the ledge and kind of get her back in the game, get her back into practice. He said, a guy in a basketball practice, he could have just failed every class. He could have just broken up with his girlfriend. All kinds of bad things could have happened. But he's playing basketball, and he's now focused on basketball. It doesn't matter. He might have all the lights out on his Christmas tree light bulb string, but he's got one bulb going, hey, I'm a basketball player. And he thinks he's okay. So men can kind of go, hey, I got one thing going, I'm okay. Women, if there's a problem in one area, it kind of carries over into the others. You're just, God has made you more complex. You have many more things happening, and you're able to absorb a lot more in the world around you. Just understanding that is really helpful. One thing on this idea of men having boxes or little waffle compartments and so forth, women, you can go into any box and talk about that subject. You know, you can talk about the kids, you can talk about work, you can talk about church, you can talk about whatever. You can talk about it, but you can't jump boxes, okay? The more you jump boxes, the more the guy gets lost. The guy be like, I thought we were talking about the kids. Well, yeah, but the kids, you know, that gets into the school, that gets into that. And the guys can't always track with you all the way over to all the places you're going to go in a conversation. So a good tip for you is just remember with men is keep the conversations focused, and the guys do better in those realms. You know, I did mention the other day that Some men have a nothing box, probably most men do. Some have a small one, some have a big one. You'll ask a man, what's he thinking about when he says nothing? He's telling you the truth. There's really nothing he's thinking about at the moment. All right, number six, men and women count differently when men demonstrate their love for a woman. All right, how do guys count? Well, they kind of don't do a lot. You know, a day goes by, a week goes by, a month goes by. And they think, I need to do something for my wife. So, you know, maybe the birthday's coming up. Maybe the anniversary's coming up. So they'll try to go do something big. You know, they'll kind of like, oh, I'm going to go get her a bracelet. I'm going to get her a necklace. I'm going to take her out for a nice dinner. I'm going to get her roses. I mean, that's got to be worth 10 points, 20 points, 50 points, 100 points. So I got to get some points going, all right? So a guy will tend to think sometimes in those realms. But women, gentlemen, count by ones. Everything counts. You know, you clear the table with dishes, it's a point. You do something nice for her, it's a point. You give her a back rub or a foot rub if she likes that, it's a point. You do things, and really what a woman would love is lots of points, okay, all the time. You know, but we're wired a little differently. But when you understand that as a man, that you can joy spark your wife through all kinds of things, that can really, really bless her. Now, she's still glad to have the big things when they come, but realize that it's a lot of those little things that will make a huge, huge difference. So just understanding that there's a difference in how they operate, people operate, can be good, be a helpful thing. Number seven, we're going through these fast, so I may be done really early. You might have some things to talk about. All right, love in the kitchen. Men are microwaves and women are crockpots. I didn't say crackpots, I said crockpots, all right? what do I mean there, all right? Love starts in the kitchen. You know, love starts in the morning. You know, a man might go to bed and go, hey, I'm ready. You know, but what the wife's reflecting back on is the whole day. You know, I love the fact that I know for many times I start Mary Ellen's day getting her coffee. She starts with feeling loved in the morning, all right? When I get her a coffee, and then, you know, and we chuckle because we went and bought the bed we're going to die in. That sounds like a weird statement, doesn't it? But what it is a hospital bed. It's one of those the beds that kind of go up and down. It's got all the remotes. We went to buy a mattress, and it was 75% off because the store was closing, and they had one of those beds that have the remotes that go up and down. And so anyway, so we bought that bed. I tell my kids, it's my hospital bed. Someday I'm going to need this. But it's great because we have devotions in the morning. We kind of, you know, I go get her coffee, and she's got this little neck thing. And get her a little neck thing, and I get her coffee, get her set up, and she starts the day feeling loved, all right? Just starts the day feeling loved. We have our devotions together, and it's a sweet thing. So a woman, it looks at the whole day. Did you love me today? It's not about did you love, are you going to make love to me in the moment? It's about did you love me throughout the day? And so as a man, we need to understand a woman needs to feel loved. Remember, men need to feel respected, women need to feel loved. That love's got to happen in myriads of ways throughout the day. Just how we treat a spouse is really, really important. So yeah, from a sexuality standpoint, a man can be ready quickly, very, very, very quickly, but a woman, it's that love throughout the day that makes a big, big difference. And so again, just an important point to realize is the differences of how we are wired differently. Number eight, men are builders and women are beautifiers, all right? Men are builders and women are beautifiers. Men are concerned about function and women are concerned about form, all right? So, you know, my wife and I just moved and we've had 10 weeks of projects. So I don't know, I think we counted 50 or 70 trips to Home Depot. I mean, it was way too many, you know, and it never got out of there cheap. But anyway, we did a lot of trips to Home Depot. And one of the things, so we're up at 7,500 foot elevation. We live at a place called Lookout Mountain, Colorado. It's in Golden. And when you come up by our house, we're very, you know, we're kind of one of the, we're in the foothills, and we're one of the highest points in that part of Denver. But when you get out of your car around our house, it is dark, dark, dark. So our house is there, but if you're parking in our driveway, we've got like a long driveway, and then you got to park and then walk towards our house. So I'm like, I need to get some solar lights. I need to get solar lights and light and detectors, the ones that turn on when it senses somebody, motion sensor lights. And so anyway, so we're at Home Depot, and I went and I looked them all over, I studied them all and everything, did all of that, and got all, you know, picked them all out, finally found the right one, this is the best one. I talked to the guy, got it all, got them all in the cart. Mary Ellen was doing other stuff, and I said, hey, honey, I got all the lights, so well, that won't work. I'm like, no, I talked to the guy. I mean, these are the ones I'm looking for. And she said, no, those are white. I mean, our house, that won't go well in our house. We need the brown ones. Oh, I need the brown. I mean, to me, I'm like, no, I'm looking for light. But she's like, no, we need to look nice in the house. Ladies, is she right? Right, she's right, okay. Guys, is she right? No, does it matter white or brown? No, we're doing light, you know? But you see the difference? So if I want to battle over that, okay, I could say, well, no, I mean, I don't, you know, this is fine. But I have to understand that God made her a beautifier, right? So that's a big dynamic, letting you both come together. And so, yes, we went and took them back, and we got the brown ones, and they look great on the house. And they work, they light up. They do what they're supposed to, but they look nice, all right? So that's just the one of those dynamics that go on. I remember one time I was studying with buying a car, and it was one of those, you know, I researched in Consumer Reports, I talked to friends, I went online, I looked at reviews, I studied the cars, I did all this work on trying to find the right car. I research, I find the best price, I find the one. I'm like, honey, I found our vehicle. And she said, well, that won't work. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, it's the wrong color for our house. That minivan won't look good in our house. I'm like, what? No, and I'm just kind of like, as a man, I'm going, you know, it really doesn't matter. No, it matters, you know, and I don't look good in blues, you know what I mean? Whatever. when you understand that's just a difference, that women are beautifiers. They make things beautiful. So men are concerned about function. Women are concerned about form. Men are builders. Women are beautifiers. You know, and so it's just an important thing that, again, if you let it, those things can make you battle. But if you also let it, they can make things better. And so it's just learning these things to really, really make a difference. One of the things, I'm going to take a little sidebar for a second. You'll notice as I talk, I'll freely talk about Mary Ellen and I'll freely talk about Sandy. And some people said, like, is that okay? You know, is Mary Ellen okay that she'll mention Sandy? And the answer is what? Yes. Okay, the answer is yes. Why? Okay, because she's secure in my love for her. You know, I had a wonderful marriage to Sandy. She had a wonderful marriage to Jim. So she freely talks about Jim. I freely talk about Sandy. But it's with respect. One of the things I think that endeared my wife to me is she listened to me as a speaker for 4 months before she ever really talked to me. And one of the things she said to me was, I love the way you talk about your wife. You know, I mean, Sandy had passed away, but I was teaching the singles ministry, and she said, I love the way you respect Sandy. I love the way you talk about your wife. I love the way you honor your wife. Now, so I, to this day, I'll do that. So if I illustrate something from my life, I will mention Sandy or I'll mention Mary Ellen, But there's a peace over that because it's built on firm foundations. You know, it isn't like there's a divorce where there's sometimes a talk about an ex is a very difficult, hurtful thing. I mean, some of you have experienced that, and that's hard. You don't want to go there. But in our context, when we were widowed and both had good marriages and good spouses, there's a real grace and a freedom. So I do want to just kind of sidebar that because some people went like, should you be doing that? And no, it really is okay. You know, Sandy was a gift. Mary Ellen's a gift. Jim was a gift to her. And so so there's a grace in that, in our sharing that. So anyway, but this is a really big one. The builders and beautifiers, the function and the form. When you understand that and you allow both of you to come together, everything is better. Everything is better. You know, we just recently bought a lot of things for our house. And, you know, Mary Ellen was the primary decision maker. I mean, I kind of, on a lot of things, I kind of would say, well, I get it down to two or three things. Well, out of all the options, here are things that, you know, I would like. But I knew that her opinion was truly, truly important when it came down to, well, let's make a final decision on something for the home. And that's worked out great. So, all right. Mirror, mirror on the wall, number 9 here. Mirror, mirror on the wall. How men and women look in the mirror differently. We do look in the mirror differently. A man can look in the mirror and see God's gift to the world. Okay. I mean, no matter how big he's gotten, you know, he's going like, yeah, some men got 6-packs and I got a quarter barrel. You know, we you know, it's the weirdest thing. Men look in the mirror and they just think, I still got it. I mean, they don't see any flaws. I mean, they're just, you know, there they are, body beautiful, all 340 pounds of them, you know, whatever the number is, all right? But a woman can look in a mirror and see every flaw, every flaw. I mean, the most beautiful woman will just, oh, you know, I don't have the right nose, you know. I got a little, you know, a little tummy here. You know, I got a wrinkle here. A woman will look in the mirror and see very differently than a man will see, all right? But this is an important thing to understand, men, because a woman wants to know she's beautiful to you. You know, it's not what the mirror says, it's what you say. You know, and again, I'll reference Sandy. Sandy had cancer, she had a double mastectomy, you know, so her body, and then she had all kinds of different drugs and chemo and steroids and all this. And so her body, the shape changed dramatically. But here's what she always knew, and here's what she always heard. I love you. You are beautiful to me. You are a beautiful woman. You are a beautiful wife. You are beautiful inside. You're beautiful on the outside. And so it was absolutely vital in those 8 years of that cancer journey that love was expressed. Because to look in the mirror is a hard thing when you go through all of those kinds of, those traumatic things. But Sandy always knew that she was loved. She always knew that she was beautiful to me. And so, you know, to understand that men and women do look at each other and they look at themselves differently, but for a woman to know there's that love, to know there's that affirmation, you know, in Proverbs it talks about, you know, beauty is fleeting, you know, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so literally, men, one of our jobs is to praise our wives for their beauty inside, their beauty on the outside. And no matter what happens, you are there for your spouse. Unfortunately, we live in a world where people get cancer and people get sick and things happen and a spouse goes, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. So at the very moment that, in the season when a spouse really needs that other spouse there, there's so many people that check out or walk away from relationships. But it's the exact opposite in God's plan. Yeah, the better for worse, the richer, poorer, the, you know, sickness and in health. That wasn't a multiple choice test. Richer, yes. Poorer, no. Sickness, no. Health, yeah. No, it wasn't multiple choice. It was yes. The vow was yes. And so that commitment to that spouse, no matter what happens to that spouse, no matter what happens to their body, is absolutely important. And I'm particularly speaking to the men in this situation, probably because of my own journey. But men and women look at themselves differently. But for a woman, she needs to hear that affirmation of a man's love and a man's appreciation for her beauty. Number 10, women think what if, men think so what? All right, this is really true with Mary Ellen and I. So it's almost gotten to the point where I just say to her, well, what's your what if? Something will happen, and she'll say, and I'll go like, okay, you got a what if. You know, even like today, we're walking out of the door of the lodge, the inn up there, and the door didn't quite close all the way behind me. It had a little gap about this much, and she said, oh, the door didn't close. All right? And so that was, and so the what if was, what if somebody goes in there and takes her stuff? You know, and a little bit of me was the so what. I'm like, well, there's nothing in there worth taking, and it doesn't really matter, but you know what? I know that that's what if is important to her, and so the so what is important to me, but I'm going to defer to say, you know what? I'll go back and close the door, right? But there's all, you know, so we have a dog door. At our new house, we had a big window in our bedroom, the house we bought, and we put in a patio door, and we put in a dog door. So now there's a little dog door. Now, again, we're up in 7,500-foot elevation. There's elk that run by. There's deer that run by. You know, there's other critters in the area. So what is the fear of a woman if there's a little doggy door down here with a little plastic thing on the bottom? What's the concern? What if critters get in, right? There might be mice that get in the house. There might be a raccoon that gets in the house. And so that's a what if, you know? And again, sometimes the man is like, well, so what? If they get in, we'll deal with it, you know? We'll solve it. But again, out of that we're better together kind of a thing. So at night, we make sure that doggy door gets closed so no critters get in, you know? The critter we want to get out is our little corgi, you know, going in and out all day long, all right? But so women always have a little bit of that concern for safety. There's a safety factor kind of wired inside of them, and their antenna's up, and they're protective. You know, and men are sometimes a little bit like, well, whatever comes up, I'm the hero, we'll deal with it. You know, but when you put that together and say, okay, yeah, there are differences, but when you learn to appreciate those differences, you are in a much better place. So, but we do chuckle with ourselves, and I'll say, what's your what if? And then I'll do all my so what, and then we'll kind of figure it out and kind of work on it together. All right, number 11 here. When having a difficult disagreement with a woman, some may get hysterical. Now, the women in my life have not done that, all right? And they haven't gotten having a difficult disagreement with a woman, some may get hysterical, others may get historical, okay? Some women get hysterical, few, but some get historical. And I'm thinking particularly, for example, of a gal I used to work with, and you know, we would be dealing with some. She was an employee. I was a CEO. She was a director of one of my programs. And we would be in some kind of a conversation, and she would say, 6 months ago, you said, and she would pull out this phrase, like five words. And I'd be like, what? And she'd be trying to like prove her point or something. And I'd be like, that was 6 months ago. There was context around those five words. A lot has happened since then, but that gal would go right back and hammer me, take those five words and kind of use them to kind of make her point, in not a kind way, by the way, all right? So she would get historical. One of the reasons I think God says don't let the sun go down on your anger is he wants people to keep short accounts. Mary Ellen and I have a rule. This is a really good rule. Sandy and I had it, Mary Ellen and I have it, and we call it no bricks in the bed. No bricks in the bed. And what I mean by a brick in the bed, and you all understand this if you're married, sometimes life is challenging. Sometimes you guys aren't together. Sometimes it's difficult, and you go to bed and you're upset with each other. All right? And so what you kind of do is do the, one rolls this way and one rolls that way, and in between is something that's come between you. And I call that a brick. And you know what? A lot of couples, they don't deal with that brick. They don't work on whatever that brick was from the day. And the next day or a week later, something else comes up and they come into bed, they roll over back to back, and another brick gets laid down. And then another brick gets laid down. And then another brick gets laid down. And pretty soon, you got a wall. I've done a lot of pastoral counseling with people that have a wall of bricks, and you try to have a conversation with them, and the wife does get historical. Well, back 2 years ago, you did this. And yeah, that probably did happen. And you said that. And so there's all these bricks. And my friends, it's sometimes almost impossible to deal with that. So Mary and I have this real simple rule. No bricks in the bed. If we've got an issue, it's an issue from today. If it's an issue from today, we're going to talk about it. We're going to work through it as best as we can. And sometimes working through it is, you know what? We need to give this one more time, more information, and more prayer. More time, more information, more prayer. But at least acknowledge that, okay, there is a brick here. We've identified it, and we're going to put it off here. Because we're going to go to bed and we're going to have devotions together. We're going to kiss each other goodnight. We're going to say we love each other. You know, if I died in the middle of the night, the last thing my wife would have remembered is I said I loved her. Because I say it every night. All right? So you no bricks in the bed. So as a couple, just remember that principle. No bricks in the bed. You can't be laying down bricks because ultimately that will create a wall. A raw, and I mean, it's not impossible to break that wall apart, but it's very, very difficult. So it's really important to say, hey, you know what? We need to learn. We need to learn to deal with our issues. I remember with Sandy, we had this 1 year honeymoon. You know, man shall not go out to war, no duty shall be laid upon him, but he shall stay at home and cheer up the wife he's taken. And someone said, well, what was the value of that year? What was some of the good things that came out of that? And I said, well, one of the things was we learned how to fight. We learned how to fight. And we learned how to fight to the point of resolving our concern or our brick or our issue or our difference. And what I mean by that is sometimes we'd go to bed that first year of marriage, and you know, I was 27 at the time, and there was a brick. And I'd say, honey, there's a brick. And she said, I don't want to talk about it. You know, and I'm like, you know, we really need to kind of work through this. And she'd say, well, you know, I'm afraid of what you're going to think. And I'm like, you know what? I need to hear what, I failed mind reading. You've got to tell me what you're thinking. I don't know what I did wrong, or I know I did something wrong, but I don't even know how to sort it out. And I would say to her, because I had time, I didn't have to run off to work in the morning, you know, 7 in the morning or something. I would say, I will wait until you tell me. And sometimes I waited till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning and say, honey, I love you. I'm for you. I'm with you. But you have to talk to me. You have to help me understand what I did or what's going on with us. We've got to work through this. And so by learning to work through problems, then over time, we learn to quickly resolve them. You know, we learn to quickly resolve them. I remember the second day I was married to Mary Ellen, I remember there was a brick. Something had happened in that day, and I'm like, boy, we're newly married. Do I really want to get into something? Do I really want to bring up something that might be sensitive? That's the other code word. You know, can you bring up something rather sensitive? And I was like, yeah, I need to bring up something rather sensitive because I want to live with no bricks. I want to live with no bricks. But here's the really cool part of this whole story. 28 years and 2 years, I never have gone to bed to sleep mad at my wife. My wives have never gone to sleep mad at me. That's amazing when you think about it. 30 years times 365 nights. And there was never gone to sleep mad at each other. Gone to sleep, I love you. You know, she loves me. I love her. You know, we were just in the Word. We just prayed. And it was just part of our life journey. So it's just, these things are really... profound if you really get hold of them. Number 12. Men like the big picture and women like all the details. I love when women will talk to somebody, they'll say, oh, you know, I heard you went to the wedding. You know, tell me all the what? Details, right? Tell me all the details. Men like the big picture. Women are fact gatherers. Men are storytellers. You know, a guy comes home from work. Honey, how was your day? Good. All right. The man just answered your question. That was the big picture. It was good. Now, you're like, come on, give me some details. Give me some more information. The guy's like, no, it's good. It's good. You know, and a woman wants more details. Women are fact gatherers, and men are storytellers. You know, women, it's amazing. I mean, you'll be on the phone with someone, or you'll be with someone for lunch, or you'll be with some friends. You'll find out so much about, like, their kids and their marriage and their work and all of that. And a man will go golfing with some buddies, and he'll come home, and you might say to him, well, how's Joe? And he's like, well, Joe's okay, I guess. Well, how's his wife? He goes, I don't know. Well, what about his kids? His kids, Billy broke his leg. Well, Joe never mentioned it. You know, and so you're like, a woman would be like, how can you spend 6 hours and you don't know anything? And women will sometimes think, you're holding back on me. I know you're holding back on me. Ladies, we're not holding back on you. We really didn't talk about anything, right, guys? We swap stories all day. You know, men, listen to men talk sometimes. You know, it's not about the details, it's about a story. You know, one guy tells a story, you know, what happened with him buying a car, dealing with a mechanic. Oh, yeah, well, you should hear what happened to me. And then that next guy, hear what happened to me. And you know what? It doesn't even really matter if everything's factual. You know, I mean, a man will be telling a story, and he'll say, well, the other night we went out with three couples, and honey will go, no, honey, it was four couples. Remember the Smiths, they joined us a little later. Okay, well, there were four couples. Well, anyway, we went to this place, and we got there about 7. No, honey, it was closer to 7:30, you know. Okay, well, we got there about 7:30, you know. And so the man's going through his story, and the woman's correcting him and correcting him. It's not about the details, ladies. It's about the story. The man's trying to tell a story. Yeah, but a woman's like, no, well, you love your husband so much, you don't want anybody to think that he's telling a story and not, it's not 100% true. It's not, you know, so you're trying to protect him from any concern that somebody might think it's not 100% detailed and accurate. So, but it's okay. Men are just telling a story. That's what men do. And I know you love the details, you love the facts, you love all of that. But you know what, ladies, do yourself a favor, do your man a favor, do those that are listening a favor, let them tell a story. You know, because if you ever sat there and watched that happen, where a guy's trying to tell a story and the wife's correcting and correcting and correcting, you're like, something's getting lost here. And it's actually awkward for everybody listening. So, you know, let the man go ahead and tell his story. And then move on in the conversation. They've done studies on this whole idea of, some of you have heard this, but they've done studies, different studies. Let's see, I'll read this down here. The one study said women uses 8,000 to 10,000 facial expressions while talking, but not all at once unless they're mad. Okay. Men use 2,000 to 3,000 facial expressions. They're much less. Some studies say women use 10,000 words a day. Men use 20,000 words a day. Men use 10,000 words a day. That's actually an accident waiting to happen, especially when the kids are little and if the wife might be at home. So she has a 20,000 word capacity, and the man has been working all day and in meetings all day or whatever he's done all day, and he's got a 10,000 word capacity. So when he gets home, he might be at 9,998 words. He's right at peak capacity, and you walk in the door, and the wife says, tell me about your day. And he's like, it was fine. You know, now she's got 19,000 words left, okay? and the man's got it, the 2 words left. And so just understanding that women need to communicate more is an important thing as a man, learning to listen. One comedian said, once I didn't talk to my wife for 6 months. He said, I didn't want to interrupt what she was saying. Is that bad or what? Okay, it's bad. Boo. All right. Anyway. Again, the thing to point out here is just realize we're different. You know, what's your wife's conversational needs? You know, and again, I keep coming back to the men on this, a lot of this stuff. But I want you to love your wives. And wives, I want you to love your husbands. They're God's gift to you. Now, some of you might say, well, that's God's gift. Where can I return them? All right? No, that's not part of God's plan. You know, you're in there. You're in there. And so learn to really understand who your spouse is. Learn to really enjoy how God's wired them, how God's made them. Learn to take who you are and who they are and become better together. All right? Just do that. Number three, men relate side by side, women relate face to face. I've never heard that, but men tend to be, let's go do a project. Let's be on a football team. Let's be on a basketball team. Let's be on a softball team. Let's go build something. Let's go do something. Men relate this way and forward. And what do women do? Women gather and they're face to face. For women, that's vital. Those relationships beyond your family are vital to you. You know, you're having good girlfriends and people that you can turn to is absolutely important. I know with Mary Ellen, she's in touch with her mother. She's in touch with her sister. She's in touch with her friends. I mean, she has wonderful, wonderful friendships. You know, your husband can never meet all your needs. God never intended that to be the case. But God wants to put other people in your life. So women do that face-to-face. They're glad to get together. But men tend to relate side-by-side. Number 14, shopping mall madness. Men hunt, women gather. Men hunt, women gather. A man will be in his man cave, and he can be there for a long time, and then suddenly he realizes he needs something, all right? So, you know, a man is in his man cave, and he's like, okay, I need something. I'm going to get out of my man cave. I'm going to go find it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to kill it, and I'm going to drag it home, okay? I mean, it's just boom. It's a rifle shot. I'm going to go get what I'm needing to get, and I'm going to come home, all right? Just kind of wired that way, that hunting. A woman is just glad to be out shopping and get what might she find? I mean, it's not, she may go out shopping with certain things in her mind, but while she is shopping, she is going to be looking. That's why she can save you so much money when she comes back. Look at all the money I saved, all right? Some guys say, I can't afford to save that much money. You know? I remember this particular, there was some couples actually from Fort. They went down to Florida together. I think there were four couples. And one of the guys said he had to run over to the mall. And all of a sudden, a bunch of the gals said, we're going to the mall. He said, no, I need to run to the mall. And they said, well, we'll go with you. So they all got their stuff together, and he's kind of like, I just need to run to the mall. And so they decided to take one car, and so they all piled in, and he went over to Sears, and he went over into the tool department, and he was driving, by the way, and he got his tool or whatever it was he had to get, and then he started walking back to the car. And the women were going, what, no, we're at the mall. Oh, I got what I wanted. You know, and they couldn't understand how he could go to the mall and just go get that one thing and then try to go back to the car. But that's the way he was wired. In that case, he was wired to go do that one thing, go get it. But the women obviously wanted to just enjoy that time, to be together, maybe have lunch, whatever else. So again, just looking at these little differences. All right, number 15. Number 15, and this is a really cool one. Male-female relationships tip. Overcoming problems together. Overcoming problems together. Never resort to name-calling, but always resort to calling on the name. In 30 years of marriage, I never once called my wife a name. I mean, a derogatory name, a cruel name, anything. But in 30 years of marriage, there's been thousands of times we've called on the name. Never did name calling, but thousands of times we've called on the name. Psalm 50, 15, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you will honor me. And so as you know, you live life, stuff happens. You got to make decisions. Problems occur, crises happen. Things happen with the kids. Things happen with the extended family. Things happen with the job. Things happen with the finances. Accidents happen. I mean, all kinds of things happen all the time. And what does God want? Call upon me in the day of trouble. We're to call upon the name. And what a privilege to realize two frail human beings, two imperfect human beings, together, the Bible says where two or three are gathered, there is, you know, the Lord in the midst of them. And with Mary Ellen, and we always have quorum for God. So at any point when we're in a tough spot, when we're challenged, and we can just stop and we can pray. I mean, we pray in the morning, we pray at night, but frequently throughout the day we pray. We pray at meals, but there's a phone call, there's something that happens, there's something we're discussing, and I'm like, you know, I don't know the answer. I don't have the solution. I'm not sure what to go. Let's pray. And we'll just kind of just stop. And maybe it takes, 30 seconds, 20 seconds. And just one of us, sometimes both of us, will just say, Lord, you know, we're not sure what to do, but we want to commit this situation to you. You know, and a lot of couples out there, they're name calling all over the place. But what God wants is calling on the name. He's always ready. He's an ever-present help in time of need. You know, call upon me in your day of trouble. And so you have a wonderful privilege. And I'm not talking fancy prayers. I'm just saying, you know, Lord, help us. You know, we don't know what to do about Bethany, and she's having a problem. Or, we're short on income. We need some more job opportunities. Or we got this problem with this neighbor, you know, and gee, they're difficult. Or this person at work. And Lord, we want to pray for them. We want to pray for our response to them. And so God has given you a wonderful privilege when he's called the two of you together to be better together, but also to do this together, right? To pray together, to literally call upon the name of the Lord together. You don't have all the answers, but he does. He's the one that can direct you. He's the one that can help you. So, I don't know, this is a little bit of a different kind of a teaching, but what I want you to do is, again, embrace each other. Appreciate the differences. Don't battle over those things. Become better together. Let God be God in your midst. The three of you, the two of you and God over you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for each person here. And for whatever reason, today was a bit more of a struggle. But Lord, I pray that maybe one thing that was said could have helped somebody today. One thing that was said could help them better appreciate their spouse, have a better approach to living life together. Lord, there might be one thing that they could say, you know what? Okay, we're different. That's okay. And how to sometimes laugh about it, but always to appreciate it and utilize that to become stronger. God, you want strong marriages. You want good and godly people in this world. And I pray that that would be true of the people in this room. In Christ's name, amen.